Pastor Stina has been leading us in a worship series this summer with the theme of being at the lake. And this week, we aren't just at the lake, we're on the lake. Today, our text is the well-known story of Jesus walking on water. So let me read to you from Matthew. This is chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Have you ever felt like you're sinking? Fear is powerful. Water is also powerful. It's our life's blood. In the first creation account in Genesis, we're told God's Spirit hovered over the watery abyss. And Hebrew tradition holds water as a symbol of chaos. Chaos that the great I Am entered into and made life from. Many of the stories in our Bible are of God exerting divine control over the chaos of water. God can bring on a worldwide flood, and God can also promise it won't ever happen again. God can part the Red Sea so the Israelites can flee Pharaoh. God can stop the flooded Jordan River from flowing so that Israelites can enter into the promised land. And in the book of Job, God tramples on the waves and walks in the recesses of the deep. The Hebrew scriptures are flooded with references of God's power over water. And this is seen as a specific sign of God's supernatural power and of God's sovereignty over all of creation. So I want you to hold that in mind as we turn towards the disciples that are sitting in this boat, watching this figure walk towards them. They cannot comprehend what is happening or what they're seeing. They can only make sense that it has to be a ghost or a spirit of some kind. So up until now, the disciples had witnessed quite a few miracles. Jesus had healed a lot of people by this time, and he had cast out demons. He had quieted a storm. He had fed thousands of people with a few loaves of bread and a couple fish. So they understood that something was going on with Jesus. But they were still trying to figure it out and make sense of it. So as Jesus approaches them and answers them, I think it's important to pay attention to the words he says, because they would have struck the hearts of the disciples. First, he tells them not to be afraid. And whenever God has shown up or revealed himself, we consistently hear the command to not be afraid. But then he says, "Ego eimi," which in Greek simply means "it is I." But to the disciples, they would have known this phrase. It is the same phrase that God used to reveal himself to Moses in the burning bush. "Ego eimi" is the Greek translation for "I am" in Hebrew. So Jesus walking on the water to join his friends in the boat is not just a show off of his supernatural powers. In this moment, he is claiming his identity to his disciples. He's making himself known to them by exhibiting the nature of God, the only one ever to conquer the chaos of the waters. And the language he uses to answer the disciples identifies himself with the liberator and redeemer of Israel, the creator and victor over chaos. In this moment, the disciples see him as God. And Peter is taken. He sees, he hears, He understands and he wants to be included. And he boldly asks, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come on the water with you." And Jesus says, "Come." And we know what happens. Peter excitedly jumps out of the boat and he starts walking towards Jesus, and his eyes take in the commotion of the water and the ferocity of the wind, and he begins to sink. And his fear has transformed him. So let's talk about fear for a minute. Fear can be a helpful and self-protective instinct, right? But it can also hold us back from moving forward to where we should be. Never underestimate fear's power to make us lie to ourselves. And there are many types of fear, and I can't know for sure Peter's inner dialogue in that moment, but I cannot help but think that with every step he took on top of that water, his fear of the elements mixed with his own self-doubt and fear of failing. The fear of failing expectations harms us all. And I want you to think about, for just a minute, the questions that we ask only ourselves. Like, do my choices in life, do my decisions look stupid to others? Have I accomplished enough? Do I measure up? How does my life look to those on the outside? What about fear of our faith life? This can really get at our vulnerable side, right? Will my personal faith story sound stupid to someone? Will my personal experiences with God sound foolish? Do my commitments to church and to my faith seem silly? Our fear of what others think can produce immense anxiety. And our fear surrounding how we measure up to God can be particularly paralyzing. We rarely engage into such vulnerable conversations. And this passage is a prime example. We examine Peter's actions to find out what he did wrong, right? So that we can do better, so that we can know what we should have done or what he should have done. But what if that isn't the point? What if God never intended us to parse out this passage looking to find Peter's faults, but instead to see that he sinks, even when Jesus is right there in front of him, wearing the mighty power of God? We all sink, all of us. We are all gripped by fear and sin and distraction in our lives, and we all sink. And it is the mighty arm of God that grabs hold of us and helps us find the boat again together, right? With each other and with Jesus. I want you to do something for me. I want you to just take a minute and just look around you. I want you to take in the people sitting next to you in your pews. Go ahead, y'all, come on. If you're at home, do this at home. If you have people with you, y'all can do this too. Thank you. Take it in. Take the people, these lovely, beautiful people you're sitting next to. Every person that you laid eyes on, everyone is living with fears. Everyone. Fears that you can relate to. Vulnerabilities that connect you. What if we engage one another in an honest way about the expectations we have of ourselves and one another? What if we chose to share vulnerably our fears? Fear and vulnerability in our culture is seen as weakness, but friends, it's not. It's the opposite. To be vulnerable with one another is courageous. The truth is, we are all out here splashing around in the swells of the sea, in our insecurities and paralyses that ironically link us to one another. Can we take heart? Can we do this work together? Can we walk with Jesus together? Jesus said to Peter, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" These words were not a reprimand, but a challenge and loving encouragement at the same time. That is the tension that God is always holding us to. We are always being called to greater faith, greater trust, and greater dependence on God. And yet, God is always offering us full acceptance and love and encouragement right where we are. This is not a contradiction. God wants us to live into the fullness that he has for us. God wants us to experience wholeness, peace, blessing, and profound love. But this human experience is unsteady. And when we sink, Jesus is right there to save and to uphold and to establish us in the mercy and justice of God's love and grace. Amen.